Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in-store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. October 15th through the 18th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale, cph.org/warehouse, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, October 15th through the 18th.
I hold this letter here in my hand, a plea, a petition, a kind of prayer. I hope it does.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, the 15th of October, it's time to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
You just mentioned October the 15th. Today is the official start date of Concordia Publishing House's annual fall warehouse sale. It runs today, October 15th through Monday, October 18th. You can save up to 98% on music, Bible studies, books, and much more. Just go to cph.org, call 1-800-325-3040, or their bookstore in downtown St. Louis, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's annual fall warehouse sale, October 15th through the 18th here in 2021.
Since we're talking about dates, can I mention something as far as what you brought up, what today is? Can I bring up what tomorrow is?
Sure.
Tomorrow's the opener for the St. Louis Blues. Todd and I were talking about this earlier.
He was talking so about enthused. I was just pretending to listen.
He looks so enthused. So he's going to be in front of the TV tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Watching the Blues.
Not likely.
Clueless Craig, continuing to try to get one of us interested in talking about St. Louis Blues hockey. I actually did ask you a question this morning because I talked to my brother, who's like you, is a big St. Louis Blues fan.
And you happen to be wearing a St. Louis Blues t-shirt right now.
Yes, I'm a front runner. I watched them when they won the Stanley Cup, and then if they do well in the postseason, I'll watch them then.
That shirt gives you street cred, isn't it? Street cred.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you're not going to believe what happened to me last night. So, I went to a high school girls' volleyball game. Big rivalry. It's the Lutherans versus the Papists. Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville and Father McGivney High School in Edwardsville. Now, you know, when you have your own child involved, you're a little more into it, right? But I don't have any children playing. However, my niece, Sydney, is the starting libero as a sophomore in the varsity team. So I'm staying calm in spite of numerous bad calls, but I know nothing about volleyball. In spite of the fact my oldest daughter played college volleyball, I still don't know much that about the sport. I've watched hundreds of volleyball games, but I am far from an expert. I don't know the rules. So I've learned if I don't know much about things, keep your mouth shut. Right?
But for you to, people need to understand, for you to keep your mouth shut at a sporting event is very, very rare. There are viral videos of you on the internet losing your mind.
I've tried to get those videos removed. I've tried to get them removed.
And when I say losing his mind, picture a full grown man literally losing his mind in the stands at an Edwardsville, I think it was an Edwardsville
basketball
game. So that's the context for you sitting quietly.
That's basketball.
During,
right. I know something about basketball. I played basketball. But I'm at a volleyball game. I have no children playing. Several bad calls. And
you're sitting there saying, but how would I know it's a bad call? I don't know anything about this game.
Well, it's simple because the one thing I know is when the ball is in or out, right? That's very simple. So a man who was standing on the pedestal, whatever that thing's called, who looked to me like should have retired about 30 years ago, was the head referee of whatever they call them. Well, the game is, I think, 23-23. Crucial match. I am sitting in line of sight of the out-of-bounds line. I mean, it's right in front of me. Metro East Lutheran hits the ball. I am not joking. It was 3 feet in bounds. It didn't even touch the line. Wasn't even close. And the elderly gentleman said it was out. Said it was out. Well, I was quiet the whole game, but now it's 24-23 and they're 1 point away. Match point, right? I said something like, not even close. He does the stare down, and I'm thinking, man, oh man, usually you don't get the stare down until after like a couple of things you say, right? But I'm thinking now, Todd, that post-COVID, so what, 2020, we didn't have any sports, right?
Right.
2021, if there were sports inside or sports at all, there were limited, like, parents only. So I'm thinking, I think the officials are going to be like, they're out of the routine of getting occasional criticism from fans. Because what I said wasn't, you know, it's like not even close. And I mean, he gives me the stare down.
He's thinking, I was calling these things.
Yeah,
when you were still in diapers.
Right, right. So then he does the stare down, which is the worst thing you can do. The worst thing you can do. Because now you know you're in the official's head. Okay? Now, mind you, I went there to have a nice, peaceful evening. I said, that's brutal. He looks at me and he gave me the look like, buddy, you're going to be out of this gym. But then he looked at the scoreboard. He's like, they're 1 point away from this match being over. Am I really going to go to all the trouble to kick this guy out? So he didn't kick me out.
I'm just going to ask again for context. How many games of various sports have you been ejected from the gym from?
Never.
You've never been ejected?
No, I've never been. I know where that line is. And I know the an athletic director, because the athletic director goes in the locker room like at halftime. And a guy named Tim Doherty used to give me a cue. I think he was like tugged his ear when he walked by at halftime. Because he's coming out of the locker room after talking to the officials. Like, they want me to throw you out, buddy. You know, stop. You know.
So he would he would give you the,
yes,
it's enough.
Yes, yes.
Sit back down.
I remember at a Belleville West Edwardsville basketball game, the athletic director, Bill Schmidt, who used to be the basketball coach there, came over me and goes, and I know most of these guys, like Schwartzy, it's going to be really embarrassing for me to have to kick you out of our gym. Can you please stop? Well, of course you do, you know. But anyway.
But you were legendary.
I thought I had grown. It shows you the sinful human nature that still resides. I thought my sanctified life had improved immensely. That those demons from the past no longer existed. Au contraire. I almost got thrown out of a high school girls volleyball game last night.
Hey, maybe this umpire
heard. Is that what they're called, umpires?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Through the grapevine, heard you were coming, and he was just going to show you he was in control of his court.
Well, yes. I mean,
your reputation precedes you, Schwartz.
Yes. Well, I don't think I have a reputation of volleyball, because all the games that my daughter played at Metro East Lutheran High School, I really hardly said anything, because, again, I'm an imbecile. But that's truth. It's the truth. And I told you guys, one of the highlights, if you ever go to Metro East Lutheran High School versus Father McGivney High School volleyball or any sporting event, Knight Nation, the students section, they have a cheer and they go, Martin Luther, Martin Luther.
To the Catholic kids.
Yeah, the Catholic. Or
right.
95 Theses. I mean, it's worth the price of admission just for those cheers alone. So to our Roman Catholic listeners, my father is a practicing Catholic, and he thinks it's funny. So I hope you do as well. Craig's giving me a 1 minute cue.
I was busy trying to find the YouTube video of you losing your mind.
I think I got it. I think I got it taken down.
You did?
Yeah, I think I got it taken down.
That should have stayed up.
Yeah, I don't think you can get things taken away from YouTube.
Sure you can. I'll find it. Alton versus Edwardsville, fans gone wild. I bet you this is it.
I don't know. I think the one had me, it was a montage. It was collage.
They'd set it to music. It was really worth watching.
That's right.
They
That's
had right. set it to music.
But there I was. True story. I almost got thrown out of a Catholic versus Lutheran girls high school volleyball game.
All right. Well, you'd successfully eaten up the first segment of listener email without getting to email and the issues, et cetera, comment line without getting to the comment line. We will after the break.
Well, I wanted to talk Cardinals baseball. That's what I wanted to talk.
Well, we can still
I'm just teasing. We will go get
Believe me.
I know you do too.
After yesterday, I would be happy to do that. When we come back, more listener email, talkback at issuesztc.org, and the issues, et cetera, listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later in this hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
I promised our listeners we wouldn't talk about St. Louis Cardinals baseball, but I felt compelled since we threw it out there. Big day yesterday because the Cardinals fired their manager, Mike Schilt. So if you're wondering why we...
Unexpectedly.
One other story about volleyball game.
Sure.
I come home last night. Joseph Schwartz, youngest of five, says, "Dad, you still got it." I said, "What, son? You still got the fire." I said, "Joseph, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing, son." I said, "I sinned. I said, it's not a good thing." But he was just like, "You still got it." See, I've learned to quench the old Adam, drown the old Adam. I would go to games and listen to Lutheran Public Radio with earbuds.
Oh,
it's
really?
Amazing. Yes,
really?
Yes. It's amazing what that can do. But last night, I didn't think it was necessary because I didn't have any playing. You know, it's harmless.
So did any of your kids inherit your, let's just call it, personality?
Our family is as competitive as any family you'll find. Everything. I hate to say this, but you will, in card games, cards will be flying after somebody loses. It's ugly. I'm not proud of it.
So they all
leader.
Did.
yeah, pretty much.
They're all sore losers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. It's my fault. All right. Email, shall we? Megan writes, "First, I just want to say I love listening to Issues, Etc. My husband and I are big fans, and we listen just about every day. However, I was pretty disappointed by the recent interview with Scott Klusendorf on pro-life incrementalism. He seemed to defend his position by making a lot of straw man arguments against abolitionists. Especially in his first analogy with the three governors, he made it sound like abolitionists will oppose incremental bills and then sit back and do nothing else in the fight to save babies. That's simply not true. I can't say I agree with everything in the abolitionist movement, but I know they are also trying to approach the issue of abortion from a Christian perspective, and they often get demonized without any opportunity to respond to the criticism. It would be great if you could get someone from the abolitionist crew to do an interview to talk about abolitionism, including a response to some of Mr. Klusendorf's claims. The folks over at Free the States had a response for Mr. Klusendorf's article on their recent podcast. So one of those fellows might be willing to do an interview, concludes Megan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the email, Megan.
So the listeners understand what she's talking about. And thank you, Megan. We had Scott Klusendorf on because he had recently, if I'm not mistaken, he'd recently written something about the abolitionist movement. And this is basically a movement in the part of the pro-life movement that says, as far as I can tell, that incremental approach, that is like parental notification, gestational limits, all those kinds of things, while well-intended, only regulate the evil of abortion and do nothing to eliminate the evil of abortion. And their position is, as far as I can tell, kind of all or nothing. We need to work hard and put all our efforts into completely eliminating abortion in every form legally, rather than try and work around the edges to reduce the number of abortions or to regulate abortion. So we had that conversation with Scott. He had written it on the occasion of a resolution that had been passed by the Southern Baptist Convention this summer that was kind of the abolitionist bent. And even though they tried to soften the language that came out of that resolution, it still ended up kind of in essence condemning efforts of those who say, look, we'll do what we can. We'll save some. We want to save all, but we will save those we can, and we'll do whatever we can to end abortion, but we can't sit and wait for abortion to come to an absolute end. Now, I read some of the responses to Klusendorf's article because it got widely circulated. And before the interview, and my understanding of the response was, well, we don't really know what Scott Klusendorf's talking about. They claim to have been misrepresented the positions, but Scott was quoting from their resolution at the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's what we were working from there.
Here's an email from Chris. Please consider reaching out to Matthew Cochran for an interview regarding his article in The Federalist, Christian Leaders Need to Stand for the Consciences of Their Flocks Against Vaccine Coercion. Our elected spiritual leaders openly acknowledge that submission to the COVID injection is a matter of individual conscience. As the government prepares to further destroy the livelihoods of conscientious injection objectors, many of whom happen to be Christians, these same spiritual leaders issue statements that command Christians to respect others' rights of conscience, yet simultaneously decline to ask that our government do the same thing. Why? Our leaders know conscience has been under assault for years. Why stop defending it now, when such defense is needed more than ever? Indeed, in the same article, he's referring to a statement issued by, I believe, President Harris and President of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod on October 4th. Indeed, in the same article, the LCMS reaffirms its commitment to continually advocate for pro-life positions in the public square. Really? How then can the LCMS refuse to continually and publicly advocate for the rights of conscience, even for the unvaccinated? Jesus clearly and plainly told the church to expect violent persecution for his sake and to turn the other cheek. And just as clearly and plainly, Jesus condemned the world as wicked and evil. Obviously, persecuting the unvaccinated is not the same as persecuting the faith. Therefore, if our church leaders dare cite the various scriptures commanding us to bless our persecutors, who are in this case merely violating our rights of conscience, they must likewise acknowledge that such persecutors are evildoers. Mr. Cochran writes, quote, others hang on by corporate policy loopholes that could be closed at any time. We are being bloodied whether we want to be or not. This is we will never forget the politicians who overtly threatened our children. We will never forget other leaders who abandoned us in our time of need. Neither will the Lord, end quote. As one who continues to generally support President Harrison, I concur. However, the next time a boomer bishop warns younger Lutheran men against submitting to a fascist authoritarian government, just remember, you started it, concludes Chris.
Well, I think we need to realize that a church body cannot issue a blanket statement about things like the vaccine mandates, as much as troubling as they are to everyone. They can't issue a blanket statement because a national church body is a national church body. We're talking about 50 different states, different cities within those states, municipalities, counties. I mean, just look at the patchwork we've got going on in the area around us. My wife and I get up very early in the morning. We watch the morning news. And still, almost 2 years later, it's all about COVID and it's all about mask mandates and it's all about this and that. And the city has one standard and the county has another standard and they can't get it together. And then, of course, this imaginary line between Missouri and Illinois that is the state line. There are different standards here. No one really knows exactly what those standards, how exactly those standards are applied and enforced. Now, imagine doing that times may be a thousand different things. How is a national church body supposed to address all those individual things? And add into that the various forms that mask mandates or vaccine mandates take. Is it a private employer? Is it this as yet to appear OSHA standard that the president said was going to happen through the Department of Labor? There's nothing on paper. OSHA has not yet issued anything. I've read things saying that the Biden vaccine mandate for employers over 100 employees is nothing but a memo right now. Even if it were an executive order, there's still nothing from OSHA. So put yourself in the position of, say, Pastor Matt Harrison sitting there at 1333 Kirkwood Lane or Avenue or whatever it is.
1333 South Kirkwood Road, to be correct.
South Kirkwood Road, in his office there, trying to deal with all of that. And people are saying, you need to make a statement. And he's like, how many pages do you want it to be? Can he attempt to work with his people and try and come up with some general principles? Yes. And that's, I think, what that statement was. It may be outdated now that we're talking about vaccine mandates, and maybe it needs to be updated. Yes. But it's a national church body. He can't address every individual. Well, my employer's making me do this, but my employer's making me do this. And again, as yet, there is nothing in terms of the law that is a mask mandate yet. Until OSHA writes its rule, much less tries to enforce it, until that happens, there's nothing to respond to. Now, there may be employers who are asking you to do things or requiring people to do things, but
I think that's the issue. The issue is, so it's real. I mean, we hear from listeners.
Oh, sure.
Every day.
Absolutely. It's real. Absolutely. The employers have definitely started to enact things that haven't even been required of them. There's no doubt about that. At this point, OSHA doesn't even have to write a rule because the employers are all doing it. It would be nice that I maybe have something legal to respond to, but I know how frustrating it is. But what you're asking of national church leaders is simply not possible to say, here's the statement that's going to apply in every situation when the situation is so varied and so complicated. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't attempt to come up with some principles that may apply in various situations, but it is very difficult. Sit down and try and write one yourself. That's what I'm going to say. You sit down and write what you think Pastor Matt Harrison should say. All right, that could apply to someone in California, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, Texas, Florida, Washington, that it would apply in all those cases. Sit down and write it. Send it to us. Love to read it.
Maybe we can read it next week on listener email.
Sure.
Here's a question from Ariel. Craig, isn't that like some Disney figure? Ariel or Ariel?
Why are you asking me this question?
Because you have little girls.
Yes. Yes, it is. Ariel is a mermaid.
All right.
Well, the little mermaid. The little mermaid.
Okay. Ariel, I have a question about the October 12th podcast. It was said that Jesus was reacting to the animals being sold for sacrifices in the temple because those sacrifices would not forgive sins. But Jesus hadn't died yet. So wouldn't those sacrifices continue to forgive sins according to the practices of God put in place in the Old Testament up until the moment Jesus died on the cross and became the ultimate sacrifice? If this is true, can you explain why Jesus was so angry in this moment and why his actions can be sinless? No, not arguing in any way that Jesus' actions were sinless. I just don't fully understand the difference between sinless, righteous anger actions and sinful anger actions. Thank you very much for your time and helping us understand this, concludes Ariel.
Ariel's talking there about a conversation we had with Pastor Tom Baker in our feature teaching a Sunday school lesson. And Pastor Baker was making the case that what had really kindled Jesus' zeal in John's telling of the cleansing of the temple was the fact that there was a wrong faith on the part of those who were buying and selling and doing their trading around the sacrificial system. That is a faith that the sacrifices themselves somehow atoned for sin. Now, if you read the book of Hebrews, we're told in no uncertain terms that the sacrifices themselves could never atone for sin, but they did atone for sin in that they directed the faith of those making the sacrifices to God's one all-sufficient sacrifice promised in Jesus Christ. So it's not a question of whether or not those sacrifices, up until a certain point, were affecting the forgiveness of sins. It is the question of what was being taught and believed about those sacrifices that was out of step even with what the Old Testament was teaching, which is, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, the Old Testament, quite clearly, those sacrifices are intended to point to Christ, and in pointing to Christ, there is where the atonement is granted through that sacrifice, not by the sacrifice, but through that sacrifice. Now, you ask a question about sinless righteous anger and not being able to understand a sinless righteous anger as opposed to a sinful unrighteous anger. Well, join the club. Because I can't fathom being angry without also sinning.
Like at volleyball games.
Yeah. The Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. And that is certainly what we are called to do. But it is something that on this side of the resurrection, we are simply not able to do. Should we continue to strive to do this? Of course. When we grow angry, we should avoid sin. Allowing what anger does in us is like one of those, that's why it's one of the deadly sins. It's like the pebble at the top of the avalanche that rolls down, and then it gathers momentum and it gathers more pebbles and rocks and then eventually boulders, and then you have an avalanche on your hands. Stop the pebble. Slow the pebble's pace. So we know what that looks like, but we are not able to do it. So in that sense, join the club is to understand Jesus' anger at that moment is on this side of the resurrection beyond us sinners. But we do know that he was without sin, even when his enemies here say, what sign do you show? They want him to somehow justify it. And Jesus points, what does he do? He points them to himself. He says, here's the sign. No sign will be given to this generation except the sign of tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Which is him in effect saying, I have authority to do this because it is my house. If someone just walked into your house and started cleaning it without you asking them to clean it, you'd be like, what are you doing? But Jesus, this is his house. This is his Father's house. And so that is what they fail to see. They fail to see who Jesus is and what he's doing there.
Did you know, this doesn't happen very often, Reformation Day is actually on Sunday.
I did know that. Yes. I don't know why, but it does fall on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be, what, a little bit more than 2 weeks away. And Pastor Whedon has written, I think, an excellent column for the latest issues at Cetera Journal. It's called Sola Scriptura.
In typical Whedon fashion, he always has to make it a little more complicated than it needs to be. He's titled it Vos Steht das Geschrieben, which is, of course, German for, and he could have just put this, where is this written? It's a really excellent article, by the way, where he walks through the old church fathers and he shows where this was a question that was at the heart of their way of doing theology. They always were asking the question of any claim to truth, of any claim, where is this written? If we cannot find it written in Scripture, then we do not need to believe, teach, or confess this. And he's responding to those who say that this obsession with the Bible and Scripture alone wasn't in the church until the Reformation. You can read the article for yourself, by the way, Where Is This Written by Pastor Will Whedon, and subscribe free to the Issues Etc. Journal by going to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll see there on the right-hand side a red subscription button. When you click it, we'll ask you to enter your email address, and then using that email address, we'll send you the online Issues Etc. Journal for free. We'll be right back. That's not the way it feels. I've Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A Changeless Christ for a Changing World." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
How magnificent, knowing my children will know and grandchildren will know that I subscribe to the Book of Concord, fully knowing this passage and confessing it with my whole heart. I will stand in front of Christ with what I believe, teach, and confess based on the Bible.
That's back to the mistake of the guy who says, I can't go to a school board meeting because that would be left hand. Well, yeah, it's left hand, and you absolutely belong there because it's God's left hand, and you need to help the left hand be a better left hand. So that's absolutely your job.
Notice that we're not oppressing them personally. We're not keeping them from doing anything, but rather it is the point of view that we have about their view and about their conduct that they consider oppressive. The definitions have changed.
Jesus is strong enough to save you. He's strong enough to forgive your sins. He's strong enough to bring you from death to life. He's strong enough to purify you and cleanse you and make you holy and pure and to bring you to Himself in heaven. And your Jesus, who is strong to save, has said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to go for a swim.
In about 10 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. There's a soundbite from Pastor Matt Harrison. We were speaking of him a little bit earlier. Confessing for Posterity from Dr. Joel Bierman. Do the Lutheran Confessions Teach the Separation of Church and State? From Greg Kokel, The New Definition of Oppression. And from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Is Your Faith Strong Enough? In 10 minutes, you get to decide which of those soundbites is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
It's been quite active here in the studios of Lutheran Public Radio this week. We had two listeners yesterday, Joel Garbish from Wisconsin and Paul Donner from Minnesota. And then today, in person, the Right Reverend Father Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy was here.
It was nice to see him. It's always nice to see Peter.
I love that guy.
Peter's a reminder that when you wonder if everything is falling apart, then there's Peter Bender.
Exactly. You know, he's like a security blanket.
Exactly. Is the church going to hell in a handbasket? Well, maybe, but then there's Peter Bender.
We've got Peter Bender.
Right.
All right. Richard writes, I just finished listening to the podcast regarding William Hinn. The pastor you interviewed at about the 40-minute mark spoke of three castes of people, with the third being those who backslide and either quit going or hang around the church off and on. He's talking about your interview yesterday with Pastor Chris Roseborough on This Week in Pop Christianity, talking about the Christian sinlessness teaching. Is that what it was? Of William Hinn? But Richard writes, but sometimes there's a fourth group, those who the Lord removes the scale of heresy from their eyes. I am part of this fourth group. I was born and raised in the United Pentecostal Church until I was 40 years old. I was a Pentecostal of the Pentecostals. I repented, was baptized in Jesus' name, and spoke in tongues. I started an outreach ministry and graduated from one of their Bible colleges to become a foreign missionary. But I never received that blessed assurance that my sins were forgiven. And oh, how my conscience bothered me. Finally, I came to the place where I told myself that if I was saved, it would be by a sovereign act of God. At that moment, it was like the scales of heresy were removed. That was 15 years ago. It took 15 more years to learn of the Lutheran creeds and confessions, including confession and absolution. I can't tell you how thrilled I was to learn of these teachings or how helpful this podcast has been to me these last few months. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the email, Richard.
Well, Richard, we're very happy to help, and thanks for listening as well. In fact, I think that that particular answer that Chris Roseborough gave as we were talking about William Hinn's sinless Christianity teaching might be a soundbite next week. It's on my list for soundbites next week. The three castes of people created by the teaching of Christian perfectionism.
This comes from Kevin in Riverview, Florida. On the topic of episodes relating to vaccines, if I never hear another Issues, Etc. episode regarding vaccines, I will be very content. On the topic of Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week being replaced by a best of summary episode, I would hate to tell you all to do more work than you already do. Maybe that could be done by a super fan who wants to draw everyone's attention to the gems of the week. As a pastor, I send out a weekly email to our members, and I always include a portion called Pastor's Podcast Picks. That's ingenious, by the way.
Sure it is.
I want to encourage them to get a taste of the best of Lutheran podcasts every week. Thanks for the good and hard work you do, concludes Kevin in Florida.
That is a great idea for a pastor to do, because your people are consuming the media already, and it's very good to point them to some good resources that will help reinforce what you're teaching and what you're preaching in your congregation. That's just a fantastic idea.
Now, to go back to make Kevin discontent, this coming Thursday, we'll be recording an interview, taking all of your questions and comments about COVID-19, the pandemic, and the COVID vaccines. Our guests will be this time Dr. David Sander, LCMS layperson, who's also a virologist, and he's mayor of Rancho Cordova, California. So anything COVID-related, post them at facebook.com/issuesetc or send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org. Please keep in mind your word count.
Yeah, it does make it a little bit easier. Yes. Always for Jeff, keep in mind the word count.
Well, I won't be reading. You're the ones going to be reading them.
You know, there's going to be a day when we'll look back and we'll say, you know what we haven't talked about in a long time? Vaccines. What we haven't talked to, I'm looking forward to that day too. I am. I'm happy to continue to ask the right questions of the experts to get the best information we have available at this time, but I am looking forward to not having to talk about it anymore. I'm with you.
Thanks, man.
I meant the listener.
Oh, okay. Listeners didn't see that. I held up the power fist.
Oh.
Thanks, man. Chuck writes, can President Matt Harrison confirm or deny he is moonlighting on the Discovery TV show called Homestead Rescue?
Is there someone on that? Have you looked this up?
Beth and I watch it every week. It's about a family, Marty Rainey and his family, who help struggling homesteaders throughout the country.
You mean like real life homesteaders, like people like my great-great-grandfather who are like breaking ground and building? I didn't know that still existed.
Well, remember, all the millennials and these young people, they all want to be off the grid and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Google it right now. Look at this guy. Homestead Rescue.
Homesteaders with cell phones.
Homestead Rescue. Yeah, homesteaders with cell phones. That's a good one. And look at the guy, Marty Rainey, and he does. He looks like an Matt Harrison 20 years from now.
Let's take a look here. Just give me a second, folks, while I click things.
Isn't that amazing?
I wouldn't say he looks like Matt 20 years from now. I'd say he looked Matt maybe right 5 years ago.
And he's a big guy, just like
Well,
President
so is Matt.
Harrison,
right? Matt's a big guy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I see some definite resemblance here in the, if Matt let his hair grow a little bit and wore a white Stetson, it would he could pass for this guy. And not only from a distance, although I think this guy actually has a more... If I dare say he might have, no, I'm looking at him up close now. He has an equally respectable mustache to Pastor Harrison, but they could be brothers.
They could be. They could be.
Now, now he's since gone on to be with Jesus, but Matt's real brother was, they could have been twins in a lot of ways. I think I remember I had a seat when Matt was installed as president of the Missouri Synod, directly across from the front row at what was then called St. Timothy and Titus Chapel at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And there's Matt sitting in this chair. And then I look back at the front row, and there's a guy who looks equally like Matt, mustache and all, sitting in the front row. I had to do a double take. Then I realized, oh, he must have a brother.
You have a true twin brother, but you don't look anything like him, no. I don't think.
No.
Not at all.
We have
Are you sure? Maybe they lied to you. Sometimes in a moment of weakness, I tell my children that they were adopted from China and we're finally coming clean.
Well, my brother and I share similar facial expressions, but we could not be more different in terms of personality, viewpoints, general lifestyle choices.
So you're identical twins?
No.
So you're fraternal twins?
We're fraternal twins. All right. Yeah, we are the very, very rare instance, fraternal twins that shared the same placenta. We are actually in the same placenta. Most fraternal twins have separate. We, for some reason, and they thought we were identical, and we weren't. We're very not identical.
Jeff, I have to talk to you about this.
I don't know.
Homestead
I need some
show.
Evidence for that. I'm a skeptic on that one, Wilkin.
Jeff, I want to talk to you about this Homestead show off the air. I want you to convince me to watch it.
Okay. You got it. Yeah, it's really good. It's wholesome.
The more I look at him, if Matt just dyed his eyebrows black, because this guy's got gray hair and black eyebrows, he even plays a ukulele.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We sure this isn't? I'm yeah. with the listener now that this might
Matt's been
not
moonlining
be some
in
huge
Alaska.
Golly, this might be some huge prank that maybe that's where Matt's been all this time.
Yeah.
It's uncanny. It is.
It is. Hey, Chuck's got one more point. He said, best non-Homer play-by-play announcer ever. He said Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall. Now, I must say, I don't remember early Harry Carey, and I never listened to Jimmy Pearsall. I can say, as a Cardinals fan, when I'd watch WGN, because that and WTBS, the Braves and the Cubs were the only games you could get that were not St. Louis Cardinals games. Towards the end, Harry Carey was quite the cheerleader for the Cubs, because I didn't like some of the things he said.
Well, you know, by that time, he'd kind of taken on that, he became a caricature of himself. The glasses, the take me out to the ball game, the... Is he drunk? Is he not? Have you ever seen Will Ferrell's Harry Carey? Have you ever seen that?
No, yeah, never.
Will Ferrell, when he was on Saturday Night Live, he did Harry Carey. And it was genuinely, first of all, it's a great impression. But it was a caricature, not far away from the actual guy. What was his catchphrase?
Well, he's saying, take me out to the ball game.
Yeah, that was his.
And a one, yeah. And a two, and a three. Take me out to the ball game.
Now, Peter Bender could have done this much better, and he's a true Cubs diehard fan.
That's right.
The only thing Peter Bender loves, well, there's probably two things. Peter Bender loves more than Chicago Cubs, his wife and family, and pure doctrine.
That's right.
And that's why he's our night-night. He's our security blanket.
Is that what you call it, a night-night?
Yeah, Justin was called a night-night.
Oh,
yeah, a night-night. That's a long time ago. Hey, one more email. Mark writes in Texas, thank you so much for your service to the church. One of the things I would cling to during COVID was Lutheran Public Radio music. What a gift that was not affected by the pandemic as far as it being able to come into our homes. I sent the direct link to my parishioners' email list every week to remind them to play this music daily, and still do send it to them, especially as we enter festival seasons of music. Each week during COVID lockdowns, I would send an email with devotions and my sermon link, along with the link to listen to your sacred music. The people loved hearing the music and still do to this day. I'm also an avid listener who posts issues, etc., bulletin blurbs, but also, again, I send direct links to the shows I want to share to the email list. I've had great feedback from parishioners thanking me for those links. One of those shows is Looking Forward to Sunday Morning, which I send out to them each week. People look at the bulletin, but let's face it, it's a direct link in the email, and they click and listen. Another great idea, and thank you, pastors, for doing this. This is why I personally support Lutheran Public Radio. I use it daily, and most of the parishioners who farm, commute, work, and spend time at home can hear your programs. I have a few that are hooked on Pastor Whedon's show, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. I am one of them. Thank you again for what you all do, and thank you. This is a pastor in Texas. Mark is his name, and thank you for your faithful service on the front lines, Pastor.
Yes, thank you indeed. Again, an excellent way of passing on solid Lutheran teaching. Look, if Lutheran Public Radio, the sacred music that is broadcast there, can soothe the savage beast that is Jeff Schwarz's superfan, if listening to it while he watches a game can calm his nerves and quiet his mind, it can help you too through the various tensions of COVID lockdowns and everything that follows. LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world 24/7. We'll be right back with Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. October 15th through the 18th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale, cph.org/warehouse, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, October 15th through the 18th.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Have you ever picked up a copy of the Book of Concord and been overwhelmed by it? There's a whole bunch of difficult names and documents and apologies and formula of concords and epitomes and solid declarations, and before you know it, you don't even know where you are in the book. Well, if you've had this question, you'll be interested in picking up the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, your reader's guide to the Book of Concord. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or learn more on the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.